Hello, citizens, and welcome to The Great Everything, where culture and philosophy are demystified by a profoundly mystified man-boy. That's me. It's the 10th of March, and today in history, the Romans finally defeated the Carthaginians, thus ending the First Punic War. It was 241 BC, by the way. You know, it sort of bugs me how poorly history is taught at schools, to the point where people no longer realize how deeply indebted we are to the past. So I see it as a sacred duty to bring the past back, so we can be reminded of how we got here. Because the Punic Wars are one of those moments in history that are like crossroads. See, I think if the Nazis win World War II, the world isn't that different. Maybe we lose 50 or so years in terms of progress or technology. Maybe the world is less tolerant and liberal, and I'm 100% definitely not around because my grandmother dies in Auschwitz instead of being liberated by the Russians. But the Renaissance, the Enlightenment, the Industrial Revolution, the French Revolution, those all happen the same way. So it would still recognizably be our culture. But the Punic Wars between the greatest naval empire on earth, Carthage, and the budding new power, Rome. This is a battle between superpowers. It's a world war. And if Rome wins, it goes from being a small territorial power that only controls parts of Italy to becoming an empire that controls the whole Mediterranean. And if Rome loses, well, the world as we know it never comes to be. Dan Carlin described the Punic Wars as the heavyweight championship match of antiquity. And the reason the belt was even up for grabs is because the only other power, the Persian Empire, had been smashed by Alexander the Great about 80 years earlier. Alexander destroyed the old world, and then he died before he could consolidate the new empire. And so, the Macedonian Empire fell apart straight after his death. At the beginning of the Punic War, Rome was like the United States before World War I. A strong regional power, but local, not an international player. No global influence. 30 years later, at the end of World War II, the United States is the most powerful nation in the world. And after the Second Punic War, Rome too was a colossus. And from there, just like America spread its culture, so that now our own culture in Europe and in the world is deeply influenced by New York, by Hollywood, by jazz, rock and roll and hip-hop, we dress American, we eat American. Similarly, Rome spread its influence across all of Europe for 700 years. And look at how that's impacted us. Our alphabet, that's the Roman alphabet. That's how we write and we communicate. Rome left us languages like Spanish, spoken by half the world, like French, Portuguese, and of course Italian. The whole concept of republic, of senate, of checks and balances, these are Roman concepts that so many modern constitutions are based on. And infrastructure? In Europe, we still drive on roads constructed by the Romans. And of course the military. Modern military is based on Roman ideas. Christianity, which was spread around the world from Rome. And the Renaissance, it was a reaction to the rediscovery of Roman art. The Enlightenment was steeped in classical values. If Rome loses that First Punic War, all that's gone. In its place, who knows what we'd have. It might have been better, but maybe not. The Carthaginians used to sacrifice their own children to the god Baal, If we love our civilization, why not remember these dates? We remember D-Day, we remember the victory against the Nazis, we have Remembrance Day. Why not celebrate the Punic Wars? Why not celebrate these other great crossroads, like the Battle of Marathon, when the Athenians resisted the Persian invasion? History is a path, and we arrived here by taking certain turns, but those crossroads need to be remembered, and in this case, I think, celebrated. Oh, and also, it's Chuck Norris's birthday.
Great segment, sir. I really appreciated it. As a fan of history, especially Roman history, I appreciate everything that you just said. Good job.